But I want to bring this message with this preface to it, that friends, you're going to have to lock in and know what you stand for. When people are claiming, you know, and they're all these in this last little election, and all these rights, women's rights and gender rights and this right and this group, it's like those rights are already guaranteed. We just don't enforce them. Everybody is guaranteed rights. We all are equal, and it says in God's eyes, and that's also in our Constitution Bill of Rights. So it's guaranteed, and it's here, but nobody wants to look at what guarantees it. We want to, you know, while this emphasis on these special groups is to create division. And one of the goals of communism is this: if you can't destroy a nation from without, get it divided against itself. Get all these hate groups against each other, and then someone will rise up to bring all this together. It'll be our man or woman. And that's just exactly how the Antichrist, the one, is going to rise to power through chaos in the world. So this is not a government class. I'm not up here to bring that kind of thing. I'm here to bring a message. But just know when people ask you, they confront you with this, it's like we didn't have this kind of thing going on until individuals in higher places begin to promote them. So the Bible certainly teaches us to love one another, love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another. What's wrong with that? And the Bible never teaches to set one group aside over another. As a matter of fact, if you read the book of James, he said, don't you show partiality at any time in any church towards anyone or anything. I stand by that, don't you? So let's talk about by the Spirit. It'll be in Galatians 5. And let me just, and I try as hard as I can not to have long texts. But I couldn't, there's no way to get out of this one. It's just, if you don't read it correctly, then we're going to be proof texting, and that's taking some out to prove a point. I don't want to do that. So let's read it for what it says. That's the message in itself, and then we'll just expound on it a moment. In Galatians 5, he begins with verse 13. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you divide and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Boy, does that apply today? There it is. And churches go down the same way. And many a church has gone down and totally ruined itself because it allowed divisions amongst itself, people dividing and devouring each other. And he says, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. He said they're at war with each other. That word flesh comes from a Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X. It means sinful state of human beings. So this is not this skin. It's the sinful state of human beings. So when he uses this word flesh, he said, don't gratify the desires of the sinful state of human beings. The things humans crave that are contrary to God, is what he's saying. And so he said, the Spirit and the flesh are in war. They're in contrary to each other. They're in conflict, says, at war with each other. So that you are not to do whatever you want. Well, this ought to be taught in a lot of places, shouldn't it? You can't do whatever you want. You do whatever's right. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. I'm glad, because I can't keep the law. Can you? If I'm not doing something to break the law, in my heart I'm thinking it. And Jesus said, if you think it, you're still guilty of it. He sure put us in a corner with that, didn't he? man, he made it tough. It's like, can I at least get away with thinking about doing that? It's like, no. So he names the acts of the flesh, so we won't dwell on them, but because we all know about them, are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, orgies and all the kind of stuff, and idolatry and witchcraft. Friends, there's a lot of idolatry and witchcraft. It's in churches. And I guess today you could write woke in there. Hatred, discord, it means divisions, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness. Well, here's the orgies with the, and he's just going on, and he just keeps repeating and clarifying himself, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now grab that. He didn't say if you commit this and you're sorry for it and repent of it. He said if you make it a lifestyle, you're done. If any of this is your lifestyle, he said, you won't inherit the kingdom of God, because Jesus is not in you. He won't allow this. You're not a person committed to him. Now this is hard stuff, but that, he's saying you can't live a lifestyle of doing this. If you just have selfish ambitions and you cause dissensions and fractions and you're envious, and we all struggle with, has anybody here ever been jealous? Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Just admit it. You know, we're a very honest group. Okay, you have been. Okay. This side over here is so, their hands are just going up. If you want to really be all this, just sit over there. And anyone else? I mean, you ever had a problem with envy? Just admit it to yourself. You know, have you ever envied someone for their looks or their money, their popularity? It's like, you know, you ever said to yourself, why don't people like me like they do them? Why are they just drawn to that person and not me? I can tell you, and I won't hurt your feelings. Anyway, fits of rage. You ever have trouble with fits of rage? Oh, my Lord. Who was holding whose hand up over there? Fits of rage over here. Envy, jealousy. We'll visit after church, okay? We'll talk a little more. So he says all this stuff and drunkenness. Now, there's never been any drunkenness around here, right? Nobody's ever experienced that stuff. Okay, well, all right then. And you know, most people have, and you repent of it, and you say, oh man, I'm sorry for that, God forgive me. But it's when you just do this and you make it a lifestyle. He said that's where you, if you're living this as your lifestyle, that's not Christianity, and orgies and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he counters it all and says, if you want to stay away from this, if you want to win this thing, if you want to overcome all this stuff he just listed and a lot more, the fruit of the Spirit is the key. And he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, forbearance, which is patience. I don't know why I would have to bring a message on that. Everybody has it. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. That's what's up here. There's more. I just had to try to close it somewhere. But you read the rest. I'll just read you quickly. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And then he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Look at it, and you read the rest of this. It says, it's all so good. It says, keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So there it is. So let's talk about first, you know, what the message is by the Spirit, and the only way you're going to be able to keep from being angry at what's happening in the world around you, or getting mad at somebody for all their failures and their, you know, the discrepancies, if you want to call it. Everybody has peculiarities. We all have little things about us that can irritate other people. Sometimes just a tone of voice can just grate on you. Yeah, you ever talk to somebody and they haven't done a thing wrong, but just it's just their, I mean, their voice, it just makes you mad at them. Just their voice. I mean, they're not using foul words or nothing. They're just their voice. It's like, I don't like your voice, but we don't say that. We say, I don't like the person. I mean, just things, we all have these things, and we have these peculiar things that we, experiences in life or whatever, that's just made us, you know, we get aggravated easy. So he's saying here, we all have stuff. Just don't let that stuff control you. And be honest about that stuff and get it out. So let's talk about living by the Holy Spirit. There's no other way you're going to ever beat your anger, your immorality, your impurity, your idolatry, hatred, witchcraft, or discord, or jealousy, or fits of rage, selfish ambition, and on and on. The only way you're going to beat it is what? Through the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to let Him convict you of it, and you're going to have to learn to listen to Him when He's convicting you before you do it. What people don't realize, we always talk in Christianity about the Holy Spirit will convict me. He convicts me when I've done something. Did you know He was also speaking to you before you did something? But we deny Him. We have a check in our spirit. We have a little conviction. You know what I'm talking about, right? You just know. You sense it. You drop something, it hits your foot. Well, let's go a little deeper. The one that everybody just, and I mentioned it because I did it not long ago. I came flying through the bedroom in the middle of the night, and I hit the little bedpost. One of my toes just wanted to curl under my foot there, you know. And I fell on the bed, and I've done it so many times, it's like, man, those toes are being like iron. I mean, it was calluses by now. And I flopped on the bed saying, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. And that's something, huh? Yeah. Uh-huh. And I'm sorry. God doesn't want us lying, okay? And so... Oh, man, and your sleep's gone for a while. And then you notice you're holding your leg and you're just howling at the moon. And then it's throbbing. And you can't get it under the cover. Anything that touches it, it's just, you know. And oh, so you know what I'm talking about. And we, and you get angry and you're so mad at the bed. You put it there. It's your bed. Well, I was trying to say, what was I trying to say? Well, bed frame, you know, the bed frame. And you put it there, it's yours. But we get mad at these inanimate objects and we tell them off. We tell them where they should go. And they're still there. Nothing happens. And friends, we give in to all this. And we, sure, it hurts. And just this morning, I went in there and I was getting some little, you know, these little frozen things to put in the little cooler I carry with me in the truck, and I reached down, I dropped one on the floor, and I reached down to get it, and came up in the freezer door, hit me right in the top of the head, and it was a praise the Lord moment. You know, I mean, you do that and you hit your head and it just sends something through your entire body. And just, you know what, you know, electric jolts and gore. And I had that blue freezer thing and I started to slam it into the side of the refrigerator. See, pardon? The Lord convicted me, He doesn't always. I hear Him, but I don't always listen. Well, and the whole point of this, I knew when I hit my head, it started. Then don't get mad. I heard it. You do too. You may not be used to listening to it, and I heard it right there. But I wanted to get mad. You know what I'm talking about, right? And it's like, how dare that freezer door hit my head? And it's like, well, you put it there. That's your freezer. If you don't like it, do something else. So anyway, the Holy Spirit was convicting, and I grabbed that. I had that block, and I, you know, there was that moment, and then it was like, "You hear me? You gonna do this, and then go up there and talk about the fruit of the Spirit, or are you gonna let me grab you here?" I just don't like it when God tests me that way, but He does it anyway. That's how He tests us. That's how He teaches us to listen before we do it. And listen, friends, listen to me. What the Holy Spirit is working in us to accomplish is that not so much confessing our sins after we've done it, but listening before we do it. So my arm was doing this, but slowly coming down, and it's no brag to my part, no credit to me, because I wanted to do something else. But the Holy Spirit deserves the credit, because it was suddenly, don't do this. Don't let yourself be brought to this level. This is not worth it. And so I put the little blocks in the thing and went in there, and my head was just, you just feel the heat coming off. You know, it's just stinging and hurting. And it's like, I guess I needed that. That's really what I thought. I don't do that every time, but I did today. I guess I needed that to test me, to see if I'd really accomplish anything here and not get upset over this. So it's the Holy Spirit alone. Listen, He is the only one. You can't do it. We're not strong enough in ourselves to stop being mad, to stop throwing fits, to stop drinking, to stop using drugs, to stop smoking whatever it is, to stop overeating. We're not strong enough. You can look at all these self-help things, watch all these TV commercials, read all the books. I'm telling you, only God can do those things. He owns your body. And if you give Him ownership, give Him the ownership of your mind and your heart, guaranteed God will help you overcome these things. He'll help you overcome your lust. He'll help you overcome your cussing, your throwing fits. He'll help you overcome all of your envy and all the things that's immorality and purity in your life. God will help you overcome it through the power of His Holy Spirit. He'll keep you free from giving in to your feelings and your desires, which means most of all, your sins. Listen to me. Every single one of us have generational strongholds, generational sins. You need those broken. You need to find out what it is in my family that my whole family's done through generations. You see alcoholism that way, drug addiction that way, high-tempered. You'll say, oh, my family's just high-tempered. Then it's time to quit using that as excuse, as a crutch to lean on, and come before God and say, I don't want that family thing, because actually, they're not my real family. Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God is my real family. And in the name of Jesus, I come against those strongholds. I come against this temper that's in my family. I come against this prejudice, this bigotry, whatever it is. I want it broken in the authority of Jesus' name. Bring it down. Do it. Get yourself set free from it. Don't live up to it. I come from a family, like many of you do, and my sister and I were talking about it on the phone here a few days ago. We love, you know, they're a family, good people, but there's that flaw, and what is it? That German temper. I mean, and they get mad at each other. We were laughing about how many family fights we've seen in the whole family. Over nothing. Over nothing. And it doesn't take anything, you know? You've been there, right? And it's like, and she said, we've all had a struggle. She said, I remember when you had a temper, and I played it up, and I said, I used to, I'm sorry you still do, and I'll pray for you. As a kid, and I was a kid, it was awful. Had a horrible temper. I hit so many kids with rocks, I don't know. I just, they tick me off about anything, and I just pick up a rock and let them have it. They'd beat me, and I'd do it again. But when I was saved, I asked God to help me stop that violence in my life, to Break that stronghold. I don't want that anymore. And he began to do it. He began to do it. That's why I played baseball. I could sure pitch a ball because I threw rocks all the time. I threw hand grenades real well. I was really good with hand grenades. I really was. I qualified those things. I could put a hand grenade right through the little old window of anything and blow them up. I'm sorry, that's awful. You raid in those things and grenade launching and all that. Man, if we throw it, I would put it in there. But listen, the Holy Spirit alone can give you freedom from giving into your feelings, your desires, and most of all your sins. And by the way, he'll give you freedom from too much pride, too much ego. Let's flip it around. And he can give you freedom from low self-esteem and putting yourself down all the time. You need to confess that just as much as pride, just as much as selfishness. You need to confess that you don't like who God made you to be. Because you're his temple as a Christian. You need to be happy with who he is in you, who he made you to be, and what he put you here for. Listen, living by the Spirit means you do what is spiritually right and you reject what is worldly and wrong. And right now, friends, there's a bunch of things in this world you need to reject and stand against. Don't laugh at it. Don't be party to it. Don't chum up with people who are. The Lord tells you, be careful. Be careful. Don't throw your pearls before pigs. Don't give what is holy to the unholy. We witness to people, but it doesn't mean we chum up with them. It doesn't mean we pal around with those who are. Let me tell you something. The people, if you have some friends and they're the ones that are in on this hating God's people, you better move away. I'm not so direct on it. You better do that. I want the Holy Spirit to convict you, but friends, stay away from them. The hand of God is coming on this. I'm telling you. You don't touch God's anointed or bad things happen. And he said, touch not my anointed. He means it. So living by the Spirit means you do what is spiritually right and you reject what is worldly and wrong. And the term living, by the way, he says, live by the Spirit and you not fulfill the desires of the flesh. What does it mean? It means living. When you're living, it's active, it's ongoing. You're living. That means all the time saying, God first, God first, God first. Living by the Spirit is a continual communal relationship. It's communion, it's fellowship with Jesus through his word and through prayer to him and listening to him in prayer and through doing what God's word says to do. I watched these guys last night. The band of brothers, such a great thing. And it shows the discipline, the training, and why, they could do the things they did. But you know what? One of the things that stood out, and all of you that served, you know this, is you obey orders. Even if you don't like them, you don't agree with them, you do them. Without that, you don't have a fighting unit. In the church, the reason we don't have a fighting unit, a unit clothed, a church, a people fully clothed with the armored with the armor of God and walking in the Spirit, is because we don't obey God's orders. This is why this special attention to this group, to this group, to this group. Everybody wants to say, I'm my own person. I can do what I want with my body. I can live my own life. And in this book, it says we belong to him. He made us in his image, and we're not allowed to do it. And when we keep doing it, bad things happen. No, we can't do what we want to do. We do what's right. We do what God's word says to do, whether I like it or not. And there's some things I don't like, and I'll tell you one of them I don't. You say, you're a pastor, you're supposed... I do it, but I don't like it. I'll give you two. I've said them before, I'll say them again. One is keep turning that cheek. That's a very difficult thing to do. And the others, love your enemy and do good to them. When you want to tar and feather them. Does that bother you? Do you struggle with it? Well, we all, you know, it's... But when it comes down to it, am I going to obey orders? And that's what it boils down to, is I don't have to like it all, but I do have to obey it all. Then after a while, you get to where you like it, and you love doing His word because of the peace it brings. For too long, in too many churches, these watered-down messages have told people how great it is. And everything's fun and games. No, it's a disciplined life. It's a life yielded to God through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a life, Christianity is a life that requires spiritual discipline and listening to God and doing what He says. It's not being my own person in the Lord. It's being who God made me to be. There's a difference. Okay. So let's talk about living by the fruit of the Spirit. That's what's going to take us through. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Excuse me. So let's look at them. Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. By their fruits. It'd do a lot of people a lot of good to quit listening to what people say and start looking at what they do or don't do. So let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Let's talk. I'm not going to give you all these Greek things. You've heard them before. I'm just going to give you practical, just on each one, and just practical reference, practical definition. Love. You know what love is? Well, we have all these definitions in Christianity. All agape love and eros and phileo and all that. You know what love is, the love He's talking about here? It's grace that's freely given. It transforms, it changes, it changes you. And it's grace freely given, and it's transforming, and it changes you, and it's unchanging in itself. It's the mark that you're God's own. Jesus, what did Jesus say? By this, all men will you know you are my disciples by what? By your love for one another. Love is just grace freely given. It has no bounds, no limits. It just goes and goes and goes, and it changes our lives when we love. But listen to me, it changes our lives when we accept God's love. I've said to people when I'm working with them one-on-one, why don't you let God love you? You're doing everything you can to convince me right here and convince God that you're not worthy of His love. You keep talking about all the nasty and the dirty and the low-life things in your life, and I've heard it and heard it and heard it. So when are you going to accept that you can't make Him stop loving you? So let's just confess it and get it over with. And they say, well, I'm just a dirty, rotten sinner. And you know what? I don't cover it up. Don't mess with it. Don't milquetoast it. When somebody says that, look them in the eye with gentleness and kindness and say, yes, you are. You're a dirty, rotten sinner. Just like me and all the rest of us. So join the crowd. God sent Jesus to die on that cross for dirty, rotten sinners. Adulterers, fornicators, alcoholics. Oh, yeah. You know, overeaters. Gluttony's a sin. Nobody has a problem overeating in this room, so I don't know. I just mentioned it. But anyway, the point is, when you're trying to help people and somebody, you know, people put themselves down and God wouldn't accept me, I'm too low life and all that. And it's, agree with them. Yeah, you are. You get their attention and you're speaking the truth. You do it in love. And then you have to add, and so am I, and so is everybody else. We're all sinners saved by grace. And He's not asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to believe in Him. He'll perfect you as you go along. That's how it happens, folks. And you hear people saying, I'm not good enough to go to church. And it's like, knock that excuse off. Neither am I or anybody else. But you're the pastor. I'm not good enough to be one of those either. I'm not here because I'm good enough. I'm here because I'm called enough. I have a calling to do it, even when I'm not good enough to do it. So do you. Let's look at joy. It says love and then joy. If you got love in your heart and you're letting God love you, it'll make you happy. So you'll have joy. Did you know that? People say, I've got to pray for joy. I just don't have my joy. What you don't have is you're not accepting the full grace of God's that's freely given by the Lord to transform you. You're not accepting His love. You're not letting Him love you. And you might, if you're not letting God love you, let me ask you this. If you don't let God love you, how can you let somebody else love you? How many of you deep down, you know it in your heart, you don't fully accept the love of another person? You always got doubts. You're always suspicious. You always got your little guard up, your emotional guard, your wall up. And you just won't be vulnerable. See, I have to be vulnerable to God and trust Him to love me and forgive me and write my name in His book of life and to put up with me. And do you see what this is really describing? Same as 1 Corinthians 13. Do you see it? Put God is in front of each one of these. This is the heart of God. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. God is long-suffering, which is patience or forbearance and patience. God is kindness. God is goodness. God is faithfulness. God is gentleness. God is self-control. The things of the fruit of the Spirit, one fruit that contains all of these, is nothing but the heart of God that He wants to put in us. Do you see it? He is joy. That inner happiness. Because I believe in Jesus. God is joy. And He said, I'm all these things and I come to live in you. Your body is my temple. Temple of the living God. Temple of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Accept me into your life and let me put love in your heart. Let me put joy in there. Let me put peace in you. That's contentment of the heart with God, ourselves, and others. Said, I am peace. Let me put myself in you. I am kind, I'm patience, forbearance. Nobody here needs patience. I've hit this before about talking about patience. How many of us are truly patient? And He's saying, I'm a patient God, I put up with you. I'm gracious to you, I'm merciful, and I'm slow to anger, and I refuse to give up. So why in the heck are we giving up? Let me ask you something. So why are you so cantankerous and grouchy all the time? Are you not letting the God of love love and give you joy and peace and patience and kindness? God is kindness itself. That the goodness of God, kindness is the goodness of God, literally treating others as God treats us. How are we going to do that? First, we accept His kindness. Let God treat me as His child, adopted into His kingdom. Let Him treat me with affection. Let God be good to you. God is goodness. You know what goodness is? It's doing what's right when others don't. Think about it. I'm doing right when others don't do it. Goodness is just I'm doing the right thing. I'm loving. I'm giving. I'm helping. This is making a difference whether I feel like it or not. And just do it. That's what God does for us. We're so horrible at times. We say ugly things before Him and to Him. Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these, you do it to me also. So when I say something ugly to you, I'm saying it to Him. And yet He just keeps being good. And he's saying, don't you see? That's what I want you to be. You're the hope to the people around you. They need to see me in you. Christ in me, my hope of glory. They need to see my goodness, my love, my joy, my peace in you. That way they know I'm real. You can tell he worked me over on this one. That's why I have to hit my head on freezer doors. That's why I have to be so human. I worked so hard not to be, so I could be the best pastor available, and it made me the lousiest. Because I couldn't allow myself to be human. I was taught that. And then I found out that when your pastor is human and shares from his own heart the Word of God and how it affects life, you know there's hope for you. You can make it. You can do it. So faithfulness. God's faithful even when I'm not. Faithfulness is being trustworthy, reliable. God says, Tony, be faithful, be trustworthy, be reliable. Be a person of godly honor. Tony, when you say you're going to do something, do it. If you say you're not, don't. And God is a God of gentleness. I want to confess to you that without realizing it, until God finally convicted me of it, I just think I've done all kinds of things in life to make him mad at me. Just push him to see if he really means it. You ever done it? You ever been honoring knowing you just wake up and you're just going to be honoring today? You're just acting like a word we can't use. You know why you're really doing it, aren't you? You're just pushing God. So you're ticked off at what? And what happens? He just keeps on being gentle. He breaks your heart finally and says, go confess it. Because you're not going to make me quit loving you, and I'm not going to quit being gentleness. Gentleness comes from a discipline of self, by the way. And you know what it means? You're only angry when you should be. And you're not angry when you should not be. Yeah, there's times to get mad in the right way. Jesus wasn't happy when he walked through the temple. He was not jumping with joy at what he saw and when he kicked those tables and chairs over. He didn't cuss and he didn't beat anybody up. But he ran them out of there, so he was pretty tough. So there's a time to be angry. And there's a time to say, am I going to get upset over a ham sandwich? How many of you have ever cussed at the drive-thru? You mean, you mean that mayonnaise instead of mustard on there is making you cuss all the way home? Thank you, ma'am, for being so open. Oh, it's happened more than once. Okay, well, bless you for your honesty. You know, they gave you French fries instead of onion rings. They put onions in when you said no onions. Doesn't that just grab you? And you just throw a fit? Is it worth it? Really? God, if there's onions on there, I'm sorry. Just take the bun off and flick them off. Well, the taste of onion's still on there. Get over it. Really? Seriously? And have we all done it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. God. It just means pick your battles. No one to be angry, really, and not be. Why do you let these dinky things? God. And it just says, let's close at the last one, okay? Self-control. When I do that, it's saying I'm not giving God control of my life. I'm not giving him control of my emotions. I'm not giving him control of my feelings. And I'm sure not giving him control of my temper or my mouth. You will. Thank you. Yeah. You know, listen, what is self-control? It's giving God the mastery, which eventually gives you the mastery of your emotions and desires. It puts Jesus before yourself. You're saying, oh no, I can't put Jesus before myself. I can't even put him before a cheeseburger. I said tacos, not burritos. You know, these things happen, don't they? You ever had them to hand you change through the little window, and you don't even get your hand up there, and they drop it, and it goes down in the side, and you're just... Really? And you're saying, you just got to get to the point where you're saying, God's testing me. 20 cents fell down there, and I'm throwing a dollar fit. When you live by the Spirit, you become the fruit of the Spirit. No matter what's going on around you, you see, you win. God wins. So walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And pray every day, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Overflow me with the fruit. So people, when they're looking at me, will see instead Christ in me everywhere I go. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Our hope of glory. Father, thank you for this wonderful day, for your wonderful word, for your wonderful people, for your wonderful blessings, for your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, and for your wonderful Holy Spirit. God, thank you that all of this fruit we just looked at combined into one package is you, to transform us into your image. God's will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.